Let's talk about tramadol. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and this week we're looking at tramadol. Dr. Justin Morgenstern currently works in the emergency department of Taranaki Base Hospital here in New Zealand, but he trained in emergency medicine and family practice in Canada. Here are his thoughts on tramadol.
So while you had me on the podcast, there was another thing that I thought was quite interesting upon moving to New Zealand, and that was the prescription of tramadol. You know, in Canada, I'd been taught for a variety of reasons that tramadol is an awful drug. And I'll tell you, in Canada, everybody seemed to agree with me. And then I moved here. And one of the big reasons for moving to another country is to see how people practice medicine in other areas of the world. And one of the things that jumped out at me is the amount of tramadol that is being prescribed. And I'll tell you, my first response was, hey, maybe we're wrong in Canada. I love seeing these practices differences because it makes you go back and it makes you dig into the literature. But after reading through a bunch of studies and really understanding the basis of tramadol, I think my teaching was correct. I actually think after reading everything I have that tramadol is a horrible drug and I will probably never prescribe it. So why do I say that? That's a pretty inflammatory thing. That's a pretty strong statement. And I'll tell you, there isn't great evidence. There isn't like a randomized control trial that proves tramadol is killing people. But when you think about the basic pharmacology of this drug, it just doesn't make sense to me to use it. So tramadol itself is an opioid, but the chemical that you swallow, the tramadol itself, doesn't bind to the opioid receptors. It needs metabolism in the liver. So it goes through that P450 pathways that we all learned about in medical school, and it gets converted from tramadol to a metabolite called desmethyltramadol. And desmethyltramadol is the thing that is the opioid. And it binds to the opioid receptors just like every other opioid, just like fentanyl, just like morphine, and gives patients pain relief. But the problem is those P450 enzymes. This one uses one in particular called the CYP2D6, which is the same enzyme that codeine uses. And I can rant about codeine later because it's bad for the exact same reason. The problem with this enzyme is that some patients have two copies of it, and they get a normal amount of metabolism. But some people have zero copies, some people have one, and some people have multiple copies, like 3, 4, 5, or 6. And so what ends up happening is some people that you give this drug get no opioid effect at all. So you're trying to control their pain and they just don't get an opioid. And it depends on the population that you're looking at, but it's somewhere between, you know, 3 and 10% of a Caucasian population. And in other populations, it can be as high as 20% won't get any opioid effect, won't get any pain relief from tramadol. And the other side may be even more dangerous because these are the people who have multiple repeats of this gene. And so they're called ultra metabolizers, and they get much higher spikes of an opioid and they get much larger doses of an opioid. So with tramadol, you are prescribing an opioid, but you're not prescribing it at a fixed dose. You're prescribing it at a random dose. You're rolling the dice and you're getting anywhere. The literature says about a 17-fold difference in how much opioid you're giving. Now, that's the same argument that I've always used as to why codeine is not a great drug and why I don't use codeine. When you prescribe a dose of codeine, it becomes morphine in your body, but it's that massive range. So prescribing a single tablet of codeine, what you're actually saying is I want to give this patient somewhere between 1 and 17 milligrams of morphine. I just don't know how much because codeine becomes morphine in your body. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Just use morphine. But tramadol may be even worse than codeine. And the reason is that chemical at the beginning, the actual tramadol chemical, is an SNRI, a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, just like venlafaxine or the other ones we use. So if it's not metabolized over to the opioid, now we get SNRI effects. Again, this is a lot of pharmacology. And just right off the bat, it makes no sense to me based on that pharmacology to use tramadol. But let's just talk about a little bit of evidence. Does tramadol work? Well, I won't go into the individual studies, but there are many, many RCTs looking at tramadol. And if you compare it to other analgesics that we have, a single dose of tramadol, 100 milligrams of tramadol, looks like it's about as effective as 400 milligrams of ibuprofen. So this is not giving you a huge amount of pain relief. There is no study that has shown that tramadol is giving you better pain relief than ibuprofen. Then we can talk about the harms. And obviously, tramadol is an opioid. And so you're going to get some of the same opioid-related respiratory depression. But again, because of these ultra-metabolizers, some people who you give a normal dose of tramadol all of a sudden get very high doses. And there are multiple case reports of tramadol causing respiratory depression, even at a single dose or normal dose of tramadol. And for that reason, in our smaller patients, tramadol has, in the United States, FDA black box warning, and around the world, nobody should be using it in patients under the age of 12. There are multiple warnings because of this idea of ultra metabolizers. But then because of the SNRI effects, there are multiple other harms that we don't see with any other opioid. Tramadol has been linked to seizures. Tramadol causes serotonin syndrome when combined with other medications. Because it uses those CYP2D6 pathways, tramadol interacts with a variety of other drugs. So if you have a patient taking dexamethasone, for example, or clarithromycin, you will see much higher doses of opioid when you give them a dose of tramadol. Whereas if you have a patient on an SSRI, for example, that will decrease the amount of opioid effect you get with tramadol. And those are relatively common drugs. Tramadol has also been associated with both hypoglycemia and hyponatremia. And then finally, just this year, in 2019, there's been a big observational trial looking at osteoarthritis patients. Multiple thousands of patients in this trial. And again, I told you before, tramadol is no more effective than an NSAID in controlling pain. But if you do case control, match patients, there's an association between tramadol use and increased mortality when you compare it to naproxen or diclofenac or celecoxib in treating these patients. Finally, the number one reason people seem to use tramadol is because they seem to think that it either isn't an opioid at all, like people can't get addicted, or that it's for some reason a weak opioid. And I'll tell you, there is lots of evidence out there that tramadol is just as bad as all the other opioids we use. But I think your best evidence is just to go to the lay media in other parts of the world. In places like Egypt and Africa and throughout the Middle East, tramadol is actually the number one opioid drug of abuse. And if you go through all the literature here, it causes the same kind of withdrawal symptoms as all of our other opioids. It causes the same euphoria. It has the same fMRI evidence of addiction. Tramadol is not a safer opioid. So in my mind, when you're prescribing somebody tramadol, what you're actually doing is prescribing them a random mixture of an opioid and an SNRI at the same time. But the problem is you don't know how much of each you are giving. And that's a gamble that I don't think makes a lot of sense. So what do I do instead? Again, people use this term weak opioid, and I don't know what that means. Once you have the opioid in your blood, it binds to the opioid receptors. So what you're really just saying is you want to give the patient a low dose of an opioid. So just give the patient a low dose of an opioid. So when I have patients in pain, I use oral morphine, and I use oral morphine almost exclusively. And I can decide based on the patient in front of me how much they need. Some patients need as little as 2.5 milligrams orally. Some patients need 10 or 20 milligrams of morphine orally. But I can titrate it to their pain. And more importantly, every time I give a dose of morphine, I know exactly what is going into their body, rather than this tramadol, which relies on all these genetics and has such a potentially random effects on the body. So that is my rant. It's a little bit one-sided, but in general, after reading through everything, I don't see any reason why I would ever prescribe tramadol over something much more reliable and with a great safety record over time, like oral morphine.
Now, Justin writes a medical blog, First 10 EM, which is linked in the show notes. On his blog, he covers many emergency-related topics, and some of these are relevant to urgent care practice, and all of his articles are deeply researched and fully referenced. You can find his tramadol thoughts in the show notes, and make sure you follow his links to some other interesting open access articles. Now let us know your thoughts and feedback on tramadol. How you prescribe it, what problems you've come up against, and let us know what you think about the idea of using titrated morphine doses instead of using tramadol. We will revisit this topic once we've heard your feedback from the community, so pop over to Facebook and leave a comment there, or email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. My thanks to Justin for providing such an interesting, evidence-based perspective on tramadol use. We will be hearing more from Justin in a future podcast, but in the meantime, make sure you take the time to have a good browse through his blog. Now, we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you then, but for now, thanks for listening.